It's time for some collective wisdom, a podcast advancing the cannabis revolution one conversation at a time. We all benefit from sharing knowledge and experiences. So if you want to learn about the business of cannabis from those in the trenches, you've come to the right place. Here's your host, Lisa Tolner, co-founder of SensiChew.
Hello, we are recording today at MJ BizCon in Las Vegas, Nevada, and I have the pleasure of interviewing Amy Donahue, who is a cannabis social media consultant, and her company is called Get Hybrid Social. She grew up in Buffalo, New York, and then after finishing high school, moved to beautiful Northern California, the town of Weed. Kind of ironic.
Yep.
And she had no idea how her life would come full circle. She became a high school Spanish teacher. She then started to teach social media and manage various social media projects. She's been a consultant now in the social media space for 15 years while continuing to build a following as a stand-up comedian and radio DJ. As a social media expert, she understands the differences between various social networks, including online etiquette. In 2014, Amy began working with cannabis clients to focus on compliance and to help build cannabis brands online. She has written for several cannabis publications, including reviews for Dope Magazine, and her clients range from local dispensaries to international brands. Amy, welcome to Collective Wisdom.
Thank you. I'm so excited.
Good. Me too. So let's dive right in. Why should cannabis companies care about social media?
It's your brand's welcome mat. It's the first place people will go and rave about you, and it's the first place they're going to go and crap on you if they don't like you. It's where you can show the world who your voice is, who your people are, and what you represent without being blatant about selling your product.
Do you feel there's enough professionalism in cannabis, or do you think that it is sort of entering a more professional space now? How do you see the evolution?
I think you just hit it on the head. It is finally evolving. You think about when the industry started, everyone just needed to get that grow going, get that shop open, and just start making money because it takes millions of dollars just to set everything up and open. And now I see people finally hiring an HR department, a marketing department, accounting department, instead of having the millennial nephew do everything. I think it's just maturing and realizing that, oh, now we need this. We all wear many hats when we first get into the industry. So it's important to know that that has to be a focus of your brand.
What are some of the most common mistakes that a young cannabis company will make?
The main thing is to read the rules on each network. And I know nobody wants to do that. But to me, if you have a $1 million company with investors who threw millions of dollars at you, better know what every rule is on every network to understand what you're allowed to put on there. I'm just a stickler for compliance in this industry. I've seen stuff get shut down that shouldn't have been shut down or really should have been shut down. You just have to be super creative and professional with your presence online.
And so the consulting work you do helps cannabis companies and business owners to navigate the nuances of the networks.
Nuances is a great word.
Because it's subtle sometimes.
Yep.
It's not always as blatant as one would think. So
right.
With those subtleties, you're helping them navigate so that the investment they're making in their social media is lasting.
Yep. And I ask everyone, I'm like, what if your investors did see your social media? How would they feel about it? And I get the response, well, they don't have time to look at it. If they did, how would they feel about their $20 million being shut down every week because you don't have the right person doing your social media? It's not just putting stuff out there. It's thinking about what you're putting out there with a strategy.
Do you think that on the strategic side, so besides just knowing how to navigate and knowing the rules so you stay safe and you stay visible, on the strategic side, do you think most companies are getting it together where their strategy aligns continuously between their packaging, what they say about themselves, what you see on their website and so forth? Or is there still disconnects?
I think there's a lot of disconnect. The bigger established brands, they got it because they've been operating for over 10 years in Colorado and California. Like, those brands have been around a lot longer because they're the pioneers. I feel that a lot of that have been around the longest, they figured it out, and they finally are running like a fine-tuned machine with all the little parts in there. But the smaller ones, there's still a really big disconnect, and I get it. I'm a small business owner. It's hard to pay somebody to do something But when your livelihood is at stake, don't you want to have the right person doing this for you? Don't you care? To me, it's such a no-brainer. But then I realized that this industry is also very inclusive, and some of these people never owned a business before.
Sure. Well, you're right. There's a big learning curve, and there's so much that cannabis business owners need to be knowledgeable about now that it's just one more thing that they have to know and be able to master.
Right.
If they're not going to master it, then they need someone like you.
Yeah.
So what are some of the tips and tricks that a cannabis brand can incorporate into their social media?
So one of the things, we always talk about the two big, the Facebook and the Instagram. They're owned by the same company. It's crucial to know what's allowed. And on Instagram, there really are only three rules. And one of them is you can only post what you own. That doesn't mean post a pretty picture and give attribution. It means you get permission first. Because I've had to ask people to take stuff down because they've used something of mine without permission. I don't care that you gave me attribution. Another tip is on Instagram, in your bio, you are allowed to have your website, but no other contact information. No phone number, no street address if you have a brick and mortar, but websites are permitted. Don't put prices. It's called social media, not selling media. Social media is about building your brand. It's not about selling product. And I think that even though I've been doing this for 15 years, social media is still new. And people just don't understand that everything that goes into it. Another tip would be you can do group chats. I like group chats on Twitter, by the way. There are a lot of patients on Twitter, a lot of users on Twitter, because they're tired of the Instagram and Facebook shutdown and everything. They can have a fake name there. You can do group chats with your followers in a direct message on Twitter. Like, what's a better way to relate with people who use your product? One-on-one in a brand interacting with people, they love that. They're thirsty for that. Don't just post, like, get involved. Find creative ways to interact with people, not just post pretty pictures.
Give us a little story of something that you felt was just a really great example, and might even be one of your own clients, of how they took sort of a challenge they were having in social media and turned it around and made it a really great benefit for them.
Well, I am actually the cleanup crew of cannabis social media. I get a lot of cleanup emails because they hired the wrong person, and to have a professional person who understands it. Budtenders know their product. They don't know marketing. They don't know any of that. And they'll find memes that everyone else has posted, and that's against the brand. And it's just understanding what you're supposed to post on there. And again, read the few rules. Instagram's number one rule is you can only post what you own. Again, I'm going to say it. Mm-hmm. You can only post what you own. Don't post a meme that everybody else has posted, because that's their brand. They branded with that. Now you're going to use the same picture. What does that mean? It doesn't tell me anything about you. It just tells me you know how to take a crappy screenshot that's grainy and post it on Instagram. Stop it.
So tell me about your comedic work. Are you doing stand-up within the cannabis space?
No, because I am too dirty for 2019, and I refuse to edit myself for the population of the United States at present.
So there you have it, listeners.
I'm okay offending people. Are we at 420 yet? Because...
not quite.
Okay.
So let's chat some more. What got you involved in social media? Spanish teacher to social media consultant. How did that leap happen?
I was actually a Spanish teacher, and on the side I was doing radio and comedy, and my students one day were like, you got to check out MySpace and Friendster. And I'm like, okay. So I get on MySpace. This is 2004, and loved it. Never logged back into Friendster. And it just kind of blossomed from there. And the comedy, I built my whole following on Twitter. Twitter is my favorite network for building a following. And when it comes to comedy, you can put jokes out there. And they're a little more forgiving on Twitter than other networks. So I can pretty much say what I want. But when I got into this industry, I knew I had to be more serious. My personality and my sense of humor get me business. But I know how to rein it in now. Because it's just the way the country is right now. You can say something that people will go off. And social media is way different now than it was 5 years ago when I got into the industry. I'm terrified of offending somebody when all I want to do is make fun of the ridiculous in the world. And that might offend people, but the world is offensive. I think it's the pussification of America. I can't do comedy for that. Plus, as a patient, I'm sleeping by 9 o'clock, and that's when shows start.
Good point.
Because I am a patient.
Well, you know, I think you bring up an excellent point in that. For some reason, and it's the cloak of social media and anonymity, that gives people a lot of guts, and they will do and say really mean-spirited things.
Yeah, they will.
And instead of just slowing it down a minute and maybe taking it in the context of which it was given, a joke.
Right.
Or maybe some general advice. Who knows? But everyone takes it way too seriously. And then they use that confusion or the fact that they don't really want to try and understand to be angry.
And it's true. Everyone wants to get bent out of shape. And I am a happy person. I don't even go on Facebook. I do my client work and I get the hell out of there because everyone is so ugly and negative on social media now. Whereas when I comment on something on Facebook, I'll tell you to your face as well. Like, I keep it to me as a person, not some keyboard warrior. It drives me nuts. Calm down, people. Let's be nice. This is cannabis. Like, why don't we be nicer on social media and show people we really are a happy industry instead of the trolls?
Yeah.
They'll always be there.
Nothing much you can do.
No.
I would imagine it might not be as bad in cannabis as it is in other industries.
I think it's worse.
Really?
Because if a patient or a consumer goes home and the cartridge was a little empty or the flower was too dry, they're going right to your Instagram account and they're going to complain about it. Instead of, as a professional, you call a dispensary, can I speak to a manager? People have forgotten how to communicate because of social media. It's the opposite. They don't have the balls to make a phone call and say, something was wrong with my order. But they'd rather bitch about it on social media. It doesn't solve anything. And if you're doing it somewhere where the brand can't even see it, they can't fix it. So grow up, make a call or go in and ask for a manager and be cool about it. There's no reason to yell and scream. And I get it. It's your meds and we all need it. But you got to be nice. It's weed, people.
Work hard, be nice.
That's all we ask.
So tell me one or two really unique things about you that make Amy, Amy.
I donated my kidney because of a tweet. I was on Twitter one night, January 2011. Two people I was talking to, or I was following, were talking to each other. And one woman, she had said, oh, for my birthday, my mom is going on the list. And I'm like, I'll do it. What do I have to do? And she called me a little while later. It was a Friday night and said, well, we'll have to talk on Monday after we can talk to the doctors and we'll see how we start the testing process. So that is what actually got me into cannabis because my kidney recipient's kidney failure was from ibuprofen for migraine. And everybody in this room has probably had an 800 milligram pill every once in a while or maybe more than once in a day. And unfortunately, we think that if it's at Walgreens that it's safe for us. But because I have chronic pain, I was a gymnast, cheerleader, power lifter. I needed something that wasn't going to hurt my super kidney. So I also, at the time, well, I still am a recovered alcoholic. So I quit drinking 16 years ago. And at the time, I quit everything, including cannabis, even though I grew up with it around me and knew it was not the same. But 12-step cult, well, get that into your head. And so I just did a ton of research. I really had to educate my family because they were like, what if you drink again? I'm like, I don't want to drink again. I can smoke. I have my card. I have no desire.
No
need. I just want to feel good. And my life has really come full circle, which would be the other tidbit when we first sat down is I grew up in Buffalo. My high school sweetheart and I, the year after I graduated, 1989, 1990, drove from Buffalo to Weed, California because we wanted to live in a town called Weed. And we stayed there for a couple of years and then went back because Weed was very small at the time and very
boring.
Wasn't
much there.
Nothing much there. But I would love to see it again just because my life has come full circle, and being here is an honor. Having the panel today was an honor. Social media has changed my life personally, which is why I'm so passionate about it.
Well, you've lived through it, and then I just think it's fascinating that you're communicating on such a really an intimate level through Twitter, and yet you've got this broad group that is influencing you, and you're influencing them, and everyone's helping each other.
Yep.
I mean, to the extent where you save a life.
I have 6 friends who donated their kidneys since I did because I educated people. I have dozens who got their medical marijuana cards because I educated people. We don't need to shove stuff in people's faces. There's a way to go about it, and that's education. That's the only thing that's going to help this industry.
Well, Amy, guess what time it is?
4:20. I was so excited, you guys, anybody listening, because I was actually supposed to be here a few minutes later, but I was so excited that I was going to be on a podcast at 4:20.
Well, in 4:20, it's a magic number, and it has a lot of meaning for us in the industry. Because it was the proposition that made cannabis possible.
I just got chills. Like, my whole body chilled up. My eyes are watering. to be alive right now is incredible.
But you're right. It's a dynamic time. We're part of a revolution. Mm-hmm. And I, for one, as you said, you feel honored for being here. I feel honored to be here. I'm thrilled to be part of this industry.
Yep.
I think it's exciting. I've met so many amazing people.
I bet you have. You got to sit here and interview people all day.
Yes, and it never ceases to amaze me. People bring their game, they're intelligent, they're articulate, they're fun.
Passion.
Passion. It's just coming out of every pore, and you feel it, and that energy is palpable, and I love it.
I even said in the panel, cannabis is an intimate thing. We use it for intimate reasons, whether it's chronic pain or PTSD. Those are very personal, intimate things. We have to be able to be forgiving with each other, but also to love each other for that.
Well, Amy, it has been a pleasure meeting you and talking to you.
You too.
Thanks so much for your time. How can our listeners find out more about you and about Get Hybrid Social?
Well, my website is gethybridsocial.com. On every social network, my handle is The Fabulous One, all spelled out one word. Twitter is always the best. LinkedIn, LeafWire. It's pretty impossible not to stumble upon me somehow if you're in this industry on a social network.
Well, thank you for joining us. We've been speaking to Amy Donahue, social media expert. This is Lisa Tolner, your host, and thank you for listening.
Thank you, Lisa.
Thanks, Amy.
That's this week's episode of the Collective Wisdom Podcast. Join us each week for another episode on OC Talk Radio, streaming on Thursdays at 3 p.m., and you can download Collective Wisdom wherever you get your podcasts. Be sure to visit cacollectivewisdom.com or email us at collectivewisdompodcast@gmail.com to join the conversation. Thank you for listening.